Scotch potatoes across the country, around the world, and on the internet. I'm Kevin Carr.
And I'm Kristen Dreyer Kramer, and you're listening to Fat Guys at the Movies.
We will be talking this week about Killing Them Softly. We're going to be talking about The Collection. These are such cheery Christmas movies that we're coming.
Yes.
We're going to be talking about Anna Karenina, and then we're also going to talk about DVDs and Blu-rays.
Yay.
Yay. And I'm going to be talking real sexy-like, because I got a sore throat, so I sound like Barry White. I don't sound like Barry White.
You don't sound like Barry White at all.
How about now?
Nope, you still don't. You can keep trying, though. Maybe by the end of the show you'll have it down.
Yeah.
Just keep trying.
You know what? I took a big hot shower before I came into the magical studio in the sky, and I'm sure you appreciate that.
Yes, thank you.
I was a little late to the magical studio in the sky, but it's an okay thing because I do shower.
It's a decent trade-off. I'll take it.
That's the thing you have to worry about when you're a film critic. There is not the motivation to shower as often.
It's true.
Yeah, you sit around watching movies
or put on pants.
Well, yeah. You know, I said this to a friend of mine who works at a radio station that I do reviews for. And I said, I have a type of job that it is not uncommon for me. It happens more in the summer, that I will be getting out of the car ready to go somewhere. And then I'm like, and I like reach down, have to check to make
to check
sure
if
I'm
you're
wearing
pants.
Because like, I'll just throw on like a pair of shorts to go see a movie. And there was, I forget what movie it was, but it was this summer. And I get out of the car and I'm like, oh, shoot. Cause I don't know what I would have done at that point. Because
yeah, I don't know if you get out at a theater and you're not wearing pants. Maybe you should keep some in your car.
That's a good idea. I really should do that because I wear boxer briefs. So they if you're not if you I mean they would look indecent, but you could believe they were actually
no you couldn't.
Oh well, I could have snuck in. I should just have a trench coat. I walk around like a flasher at every screening we go to.
I'd say put the pants in the car. Yes.
I am zestfully clean today.
Great.
Aren't you glad? Do you remember those
Dial?
Ads?
Oh, yeah.
I use Zestfully Clean. You know what's funny is my grandparents used to use Zest, the soap.
Zest was great.
And the only reason I remember it is because when I took my shower today, I'm like...
Or like Irish Spring.
Yeah. Mm. I always wait for the Irish guy, the fake Irish guy, to cut my... to walk in the bathroom and just cut my soap open. Be like, it's got lines. What does that mean? But Zest is my grandparents used to use it, and they always had the Zestfully Clean. And I remember because when I stepped in and I smelled, it was totally like a shower. I grabbed the soap and I they would do those in those 80s ads. And I'm like, it smelled like when I would take a shower at my grandparents' place back when I was younger.
For me, it's sawdust that reminds me of the good old days. Sawdust.
Where did you grow up?
In a wood shop.
You're like, oh, back, I was one of Santa's elves.
No, my dad built cabinets when I was a kid. So aww. I would go to the shop and it always smelled like sawdust. And then there were posters on the walls of scantily clad women.
Yes.
And that's what I grew up with.
You're like, Daddy, what's that guy doing? Like, don't look at that. Go play in the sawdust and the wood chips.
Sawdust and varnish. That's... And dust and pledge.
Wow.
Yeah.
You had a depressing childhood. Charming childhood.
It kind of sounds like it, doesn't it?
I get this feeling that you like had pigtails. Did you have pigtails?
Oh, of course. Yeah.
Did you have a dirt floor? Did you live on a prairie? And was it a little house?
No. No, actually, it was a little house in the suburbs.
Wow. That's awesome.
Yeah.
I've met your dad. I can imagine him just like working in the wood shop.
Oh, yeah. He does that out here. Oh. He comes to visit, and he works the entire time.
Wow.
All of the things in our house, all the stuff that is built and wood in our house, Dad did it.
And then you go inside, and after a sweaty day, you grab the soap, you sniff it in the shower.
Oh, yes.
You have the towel that says Zestfully Clean on the back. Oh, my heavens.
Anyway.
You're listening to Fat Guys in the Movies with Kevin Carr and Kristen Dora Kramer. We're not talking about movies right now. We're for some.
We don't have that many to talk about.
Yeah, some strange reason we're not talking about shower options.
And soap, yes.
Yes.
80s commercials.
It's a clean show.
Nice.
But we're just procrastinating because we don't want to talk about what losers we were this last weekend at the box office.
Well, there's that.
Because I said this on Twitter, if there's any indication, if this box office of this last weekend over Thanksgiving was any indication, it is the indication that we are lousy at picking box office numbers.
Yeah.
Because you, I guess you would technically
win.
It wasn't
bad.
Yeah, your Breaking Dawn estimate was, you said 58 million for the 5-day, which it came in at 64.
That's not bad.
That's not bad. It made a little bit better. It's holding better than the last one. I think because it's so insanely stupid and crazy at the end that people are like, well, I got to see this now. Like that tiny sliver.
Oh, yeah. I feel like I need to see it again. And again and again and again.
But you then said Guardians was going to make $50 million plus $1 in the Price is Right standoff. And
we both went over on that one.
We were way off.
Yeah, a little bit.
It made only $32 million in its 5-day spread, which is a terrible opening.
And it was the fourth.
Yeah.
Fourth place.
After Skyfall, which is holding remarkably well. It's the highest grossing Bond movie ever. And then Lincoln. Lincoln is doing really... You know, and I saw this. I'm going to steal this
from Twitter. And you know it's because of us.
It is. Because we are the most influential voices in film.
That's what we've been called.
That's right. I've heard this said, so I'm stealing this from some anonymous Facebook meme. But Lincoln's doing very well in the theaters this year, which is not historically traditional. He did very poorly in theaters back in the 1865. It was bad for him in the theater. So
that's terrible.
It is awful, isn't it? It's okay. 150 years have passed. It's allowed. You can
it's
make fun.
It's not too soon.
Yeah, no, it's not too soon. No one's going to get offended. You're not going to have like Lincoln's great 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 grandchild going, "Are you offended my?" That's how they talk apparently. You offended my great great grandfather. I'm like, come on, he freed the slaves, and he was the 13th, 15th. What president was he?
I think he was the 16th.
16th. Because he's not the 5th. He's on the $5 bill. He should be. They should have like a $16 bill for him.
Okay.
So I know it's in the teens. It was before Woodrow Wilson.
There you go.
So there you go. Anyways, the other ones, I mean, it just kind of rolled down the list. Same thing. Red Dawn did not do terribly well, although they're saying it did well. 22 million over 5 days.
Is that supposed to be doing well?
I don't know. See, the thing is, it looks like it's on track to make almost exactly what the original made, but the original cost like 10% of what this one did.
Right, and that was a long time ago.
Yeah, it was in the 80s. Mm-hmm. So, and then Silver Linings Playbook is just not getting much traction at all.
No.
5.6 million, even though it's getting award buzz. Mm-hmm. People are saying it's going to be one of the contenders. Do you think that it will be? I mean, do you think it has, because I didn't like it.
Really,
so.
I don't know. Mm-hmm. I don't see, personally, I don't see it in my top 10 list.
Okay.
But... David O. Russell, he's got that award thing going.
Yeah, I could see it getting a nomination. I do not think Bradley Whitford's going to get a nomination. Not Bradley Whitford.
Bradley Cooper.
Bradley
perhaps.
Cooper, old popsicle eyes, is not going to get a nomination. I wouldn't be surprised if Jennifer Lawrence did, just because...
She's Jennifer Lawrence.
She's the darling of the Academy at this point. But aside from that, maybe...
I could see Bradley Cooper getting a nomination.
Mm, okay. I mean,
it depends.
I think it's good.
What else is out there?
Well, there's
we have
a lot.
Another month to go.
There's a lot.
So
of other
we'll
stuff.
See what else is coming.
I think part of it is that it'll get more sort of smaller awards. I think it's going to get nods for that, like Best Picture from Hackensack, New Jersey Film Critics Association, or something like that.
And you are criticizing other people as a member of the Central Ohio Film Critics Association because.
There's going to be big things heard about the Central Ohio Film Critics Association.
Oh, yes.
In the coming years. Trust me.
I know.
Trust me on this.
Sadly,
one.
Sadly, it's true.
Yeah. And then Anna Karenina, it came
I
in
like
at
how
12.
You say that.
I just can't stop.
It just rolls off the tongue.
It just keeps going. It's like the movie. And it made $1.1 million in a very limited release, so it's being slowly rolled out. We're going to review it this week because there's really nothing else going on.
There's nothing else to talk about, so we might as well.
It's that weekend after Thanksgiving that there's like two of them. This weekend, it's a
and
really weak.
Next weekend, time. It's pretty sad.
Next
weekend, really.
It's depressing.
It is.
It is. I mean, like.
It's really depressing.
Like, really depressing. Like, you need to hide the razor blades from Hollywood next weekend.
Well, you know how it is. And it's, you know, the holiday season. And maybe that explains the high suicide rates in December.
Gerard Butler movies? Absolutely. Well, the romantic comedies. 300 was awesome. Not so much The Ugly Truth. Anyways, we got to go to a break. When we get back, we're going to be talking about the movies Killing Me Softly and Anna Karenina.
And welcome back to Fat Guys at the Movies with Kevin Carr and Kristen Dreyer Kramer.
Yes.
And in case you didn't know, we are Kevin Carr and Kristen Dreyer Kramer. We were awfully busy talking about soap in our first segment that we really didn't talk about anything else.
We didn't even tell where to get a hold of us, and we should have, because that was a oversight on our part. But if you want to reach us, you can email us at fatguys@fatguysatthemovies.com. You can leave us a voicemail at 740-205-6456. You can go to the website, fatguysatthemovies.com, and get more bonus content and extra podcasts and episodes.
Go us.
Yes. Go us. Yay. Facebook.com/FGATM and Twitter.com/KevinCarr for me and KDK Reviews for KDK over here. And you also have your...
Nightsandweekends.com and realdiscovery.org.
Yay! There, we got that out of the way.
Okay. Whew.
What should we talk about now? Should we review a couple films?
Yeah, I guess so. While we're here.
They're there.
We might as well.
All right. Let's start off with the first one. This is The Collection. And in the sequel to the 2009 The Collector, a woman is kidnapped and put in a deadly maze by a psychotic killer.
With over 50 people still missing, grieving families are seeking answers.
I'm working for a man whose daughter's gone missing. She's all I have. Find her.
Was she alive?
Last time I saw her.
I've got 48 hours before she's dead.
You want to find this guy, you got to start at the beginning. Better be prepared. Bring everything you got. Because if he catches you, he's going to make you wish you were dead.
Merry Christmas.
Yay! This is one of the things that just burns me about Hollywood right now.
Okay.
It is the fact that no one releases horror movies in October. They actually had a couple this year.
There were a couple.
You know, they had Paranormal Activity is always in October.
Yep.
They did the Silent Hill movie, and they did Frankenweenie, which is arguably horror.
Mm-hmm.
But The Collector, I was watching horror movies in October, and they were advertising The Collection coming out in November. Kind of doesn't make any sense.
No, that's kind of ridiculous.
But did you see the Collector? That's the
Collector.
Original. Did you see The Collector?
No, I didn't. I did.
I had to go back.
Although we were discussing it earlier.
Yeah.
That you forgot that you did.
Well,
it's clearly not that memorable.
Well, what's so funny is it was in 2009 and I went back and for some reason I'm like, I think I reviewed this movie. And I searched my website and I'm like, lo and behold, there was a review written by this guy named Kevin Carr. And I went and
it's
I read it.
Kevin Carr.
I hope it was me. Or I was really drunk at the time. And I start reading the review and I'm like, oh, this is coming back to me. Because this happens a lot. I was backing up my website this weekend and I'm watching these files coming through as it's downloading all the reviews, the backup. And I'm like, that movie does not sound familiar. But obviously I watched it and reviewed it because there's a review on my site.
Yeah, I have a lot of those.
Yeah. And
we watch a lot of movies.
There's a lot.
Yeah.
And so many just kind of fall together. And I did see The Collection or The Collector, and I liked it. I thought it was a decent film. It came out kind of at the tail end of that whole torture porn.
Oh, yeah.
But it had that grisly human body deformation torture in it, but it was more than just that.
Mm-hmm.
So this one is a sequel. They didn't screen it widely.
They're big lost. Surprise.
Wow. So it gets a preemptive suck. I don't know what else to say about this. So it gets a preemptive suck. You have to. You're contractually obligated.
Yes. And I will also give it a preemptive suck.
Suck, suck.
Yes.
All right. Anyways, you are listening to Kevin Carr and Kristen Dreyer Kramer on Fat Guys at the Movies. We're talking about the new movies this weekend and the next one.
Is Killing Them Softly.
Yes.
After a couple of small-time crooks rob a mob-run card game, Brad Pitt is called in to order some hits and bring things back to business as usual.
Mark Trapman's game was hit a couple nights ago.
Hey!
Just give it all up, nobody gets hurt. It's only money.
So where do we go from here? We start with Trapman. They are not gonna okay anything major here.
What does that mean?
They just want you to talk to them.
Hey, what's going on?
Hey!
Talk to them. Shove them around a little. Don't hurt them too badly, because they don't want them hurt. I don't know if they'll spring for two guys. It's a two-man job.
That was a really good blurb.
Oh, thank you.
You did a great job with that.
It was a challenge.
It was different than my blurb, which I sent to you on
Yes,
Facebook.
You had a good blurb, too. I did kind of prefer that one. It was a lot more amusing.
So what'd you think? I'm curious, because we saw this together, and I kind of skirted away when we were talking a little bit about with another critic,
yes.
Jason Zingali from Bullseye.com. But I didn't want to talk too much about it because I wanted our discussion.
I've been wrestling with it.
Yes?
Yes.
Were you listening to talk radio when you were wrestling with it?
That's, you know, that's one of those things in this movie. Everybody in this movie listens to talk radio, yeah. or they watch C-SPAN in bars.
Non-stop.
And, you know, I don't think mob thugs, I mean, if you're a mob thug, call in and let me know if I'm right or not.
Yeah.
But I don't think they listen to talk radio all the time.
Yeah. Well, and the only one who actually listens to music on the radio was Brad Pitt's character. And I know that was completely deliberate.
And what was he listening to, though?
He was listening to Johnny Cash at one point.
Right.
And then he was listening. What was the other thing?
Because the whole soundtrack was really old music, too, if there was music.
Yeah.
And I don't know. Maybe it was supposed to take place in 1972.
But no, it obviously took place in 2008.
2008.
It was so apparent. And this is why I didn't. This is what I found. If you're going to make a movie that's overtly political, as much as I don't like Michael Moore as a filmmaker, because mm-hmm. I think he's a pretentious windbag, at least he is unapologetic about making a political film.
Right.
And if you're going to have a film with political subtext, then be subtle about it. Or make it about the industry, like Margin Call. Like we were talking about Margin Call earlier today. That one, at least, it was about politics, but that's what the movie was about.
Mm-hmm.
The Killing Them Softly has nothing to do with politics.
Yeah, I have no idea the point of that.
Yeah.
I'm still trying to figure it out.
Well, you didn't...
What it's supposed to mean,
well, at the
really.
End, they literally tell you exactly what it means.
Yeah, but it still didn't... It didn't speak to me, I guess.
Yeah, yeah. Well, yeah, I'll give you a great example of a movie that I thought did a great job talking politics, but most people didn't see it that way, was, of all films, a Serbian film, which is notorious for being so offensive and mm-hmm. violent and,
okay.
and problematic. And most people just see that, but it actually has these political statements to be made
mm-hmm.
about the view of Serbia and victimization and that sort of thing. There's a lot of subtext there, but it doesn't hit you over the head with it. This thing hits you over the head. Every time he has a chance, they have a speech from Bush or Obama or McCain.
Constantly. It's always in the background.
Yeah.
Or on the radio.
It takes place during the recession. It's supposed to be showing how even, you know, thugs and mob hits were dealing with recessions and bureaucracies and stuff
like that.
You know,
and the thing is, I am pretty sure that even if there weren't a recession, these guys probably would have hit up this card game.
Yeah.
You know, it's not just because, you know, they got laid off from work.
They got laid off from their dope dealing.
Right. The dope business is not doing well these days.
Well, and one thing Jason Zingali, I mentioned him earlier, he mm-hmm. said, he goes, well, it was better than Jesse James, which is what the director did before that.
The assassination of Jesse James by the coward Robert Ford.
Yes. Let's give the full title of the movie. We have no time left. Thank you. But I said, that's like saying that That's My Boy was better than Jack and Jill. They were both terrible films. And they're both horrible Adam Sandler movies, but one was going to be better.
Yeah. I didn't mind Jesse James.
Yeah.
Because it was a Western. It was kind of slow and rambly.
Kinda.
But yeah, okay, it was slow and rambly. But this was slow and rambly, too.
Yeah.
And it was supposed to be kind of an action movie.
Well,
you know,
I think
it was supposed to be a crime thriller.
He was trying to do Quentin Tarantino and failing.
Yeah. At least with Quentin Tarantino, the characters are interesting and quirky and fun. And these weren't interesting at all.
Well, we'll give our grades on the other side of the break. Welcome back to Fat Guys at the Movies with Kristen Dreyer Kramer and Kevin Carr. And just a couple more things on Killing Them Softly, just to wrap things up. I had said he was trying to do Quentin Tarantino. He was trying to do that pop dialogue, that really snappy dialogue that we see like
mm-hmm.
Jules and Vincent in Pulp Fiction. Or there's actually a scene that very reminiscent of Reservoir Dogs where they're doing flashbacks and that.
Yep.
But it's the problem when you pay homage to something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Is if you do it worse, if you don't do as good of a job, it just looks completely derivative and imitative.
Yeah, I have to say that more often, I just wanted them to shut up and get on with it already.
Yeah. And it just, it went on. And like I said, the biggest thing that bothered me was the overt, hey, I've got a political point, and just beating you over the head with this. And like you said, they had thugs that you would expect. No one had tape decks even in their car or iPods. Mm-hmm. They were listening to
political talk radio.
Yeah, speeches during the financial crisis.
And that's what they do while they're, you know, on stakeouts.
Yeah. This guy's getting off the plane. He's going to come in and get drunk and have a bunch of hookers. And he's listening to, I think it was they were playing one of the speeches.
Yeah.
And then at the very end, they do just hit you over the head. And there's a point where one of the characters in a bar, there's no spoilers, but there's Obama dude giving a speech, and he points to it and he says, what this guy says.
Right.
And I'm like, oh my gosh. And you just kind of can see the guy at the airport with the lighted sticks guiding the plane in, going, here comes the message. Just bring it in. Yeah, it's tedious. I did not like this movie. I'm giving it a sucks.
You know, I was on the fence with this one. And the more I think about it, the less I like it. So I'm going to give it a kind of sucks.
I'll check back with you next week. It might have moved to a suck.
It could.
Oh, dear. All right, let's move on to the next one, which is, do you want to say it?
Anna Karenina.
Yes. And this is the classic novel by Leo Tolstoy, right? Leo Tolstoy.
Yes. He did. Okay. Yeah, that's
comes to life courtesy of Joe Wright and a British costume drama. As a British costume drama.
It would be a sin to help you destroy yourself.
Sensual desire indulged for its own sake is the misuse of something sacred.
The man who can't govern his wife has gone as far as he can go in government.
Anna isn't a criminal, but she broke the rules.
Leave my life. She'll be ruined.
Do you think I would let you have my son?
You are depraved. A woman without honor. And this is what you want. Do you know what you want?
Okay, you go first. I'm curious as to what you think.
You know, I do feel bad now that I haven't read the novel.
Well, it's not like you can just whip it out and read it in like a weekend.
Well, no, but I was an English major.
Yeah.
You know, I spent a lot of time reading literature. And I actually had a professor in college who specialized in Russian literature.
Wow.
So you'd think that I would have had to read it at some point.
You're fired.
But I never have. So I spent a lot of time after I watched the movie going through, like, on Wikipedia and trying to figure out which parts were real and which parts were worked in. You have to do that sometimes.
All I know about Anna Karenina is what I read on Wikipedia.
I know, me too. It's kind of sad.
You know what's one thing?
I feel like I need to apologize to my college professors right now.
Did you
I'm
like
sorry.
The movie, though? Did you?
I did.
Okay.
There are a lot of parts that there are a lot of characters and they're all intertwined and there are a lot of things going on.
Yeah.
And, you know, there are a lot of things that have to be let go. Mm. But I think it was done relatively well. It's kind of dreary and, you know, but it's beautifully dreary.
Yeah.
And I think the one thing that's really interesting about this adaptation is that he pulls it in and builds it around the stage. And so it has all these interesting transitions from, you know, using stage designs and bringing in different sets and things like that. And I think that was one thing that, you know, was completely irrelevant, really, to the story at hand. But it was really interesting, and it kept my attention as it moved from one thing to the other.
You're right. You're absolutely. I mean, it was a visually interesting film to watch. And I said this when the publicist asked what I thought.
Mm-hmm.
I said it was a beautifully looking movie.
Mm-hmm.
Very pretty. But there's a couple problems with that I found. First of all, and this is from, and I could talk and be like, well, the novel was supposed to be. I know this from Wikipedia, so I could be totally wrong on this. But supposedly this was realism fiction, the book, where it's supposed to be the mundane nature of life and everything that goes on.
Mm-hmm.
But this is so stylized, it almost leaves that behind. If that was kind of the point of the novel, Joe Wright takes it very stylized. And my wife and I were watching it, and for the first 15 minutes or so, it plays like a Baz Luhrmann movie.
Mm-hmm.
And it plays.
It does.
Very flashy. And then they have things and it's timed out and they kind of time it with music. And it's this surreal kind of all taking place in the theater, even though they go to different places. And I say, look over to my wife and I go, if they can keep this up, then it'll be a really neat movie. But he runs out of steam about 20 minutes in. And then he just kind of goes and just starts playing.
And then
it
comes in every once in a while.
Yeah, very
so there are,
occasional.
It's kind of spotty.
Yeah. Whereas if you compare it to something like, say, Moulin Rouge, mm-hmm. which is like that through the
right.
entire film. And that is one of the – I watched Moulin Rouge, could not take my – literally could not stop watching it.
Yeah.
I couldn't – I was going to lay down and kind of like do something to lay down or either fall asleep or – I couldn't – I just had – I'm just like it just compelled me to watch the entire
thing. Yeah, this definitely isn't that way.
No. And I mean
– I think my husband checked out about a third of the way through and pulled out his phone. So fortunately, we weren't in the theater.
Yeah. So. And the thing is, as much as I respect what Joe Wright did with that, mm-hmm. he wasn't the guy to do that. It was overly ambitious for him, I felt. And
okay.
it was – and then it got too stylized. And then on top of it – and this is nitpicky, I know.
You're allowed.
But I get a little annoyed – with movies that are supposed to be in another country, especially if it's a grand Russian epic. And everyone speaks in a British accent.
Yeah. There's that.
To the point that Kelly MacDonald's in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
And she's
Scottish.
As Scottish as can be. If you've seen Brave, she does the voice
yes.
of the girl from Brave. So it's just, I don't do a Scottish accent, but
clearly.
It sounds like you're talking with rocks in your mouth. She does a British accent.
She does.
No one... speaks in a
they
Russian accent.
They always do that. If it happens in Europe, they must have British accents.
Well, and it was like, I remember seeing the movie, was it Enemy at the Gates? The one with Ralph Fiennes played a sniper in Russia.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
That one was another one that is all Russian and everyone's British accent, except for like Bob Hoskins, who actually did a Russian accent. And I'm like, and that was my complaint with Valkyrie a couple of years ago. I'm like, I can get it if some people, you know, if I were talking to somebody and I can't do a British accent or a Russian accent and you couldn't, but we pay these people millions of dollars. They should at least, they're actors. They should at least know how, they should learn how to do it. Get a dialogue coach.
It's true.
So it felt, you know, unlike say something like, Dr. Zhivago,
mm-hmm.
that felt authentic. This just didn't feel authentic to me.
Okay.
Felt like a BBC production.
A little bit.
So
that's very Joe Wright, though.
Yeah. What's your grade?
I'm going to say it kind of rocks.
Kind of rocks?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to say kind of sucks. I didn't hate it, but it's not. I mean, it might get like awards nods for like costume design and set design. But and Karen, I mean, the acting wasn't bad. It just I'm not a big Joe Wright fan anyway. So
gotcha.
Yeah.
Hannah
was okay, but he loves having scenes of people in dress gowns dancing.
Yes.
There's like one in every movie, practically. Even the soloist. Awkward.
Nice.
Real quick, oh my gosh, we only got about a minute or so left. Box office predictions from Fat Guys in the Movies with Christian Dreyer Kramer and Kevin Carr. What is your box office? What do you think is going to win? You go first.
Okay.
I don't have any in my head.
You know what? I'm going to go way out there and I'm going to give it to Skyfall.
Ooh. That's bold. What do you think the number's going to be?
I'll give it 17.
KDK, Skyfall.
It's a slow week. I'll give it 17.
17. I am going to. Oh, you know what? I'll stick with Breaking Dawn, and I'm going to say 15.
Okay.
That is my prediction from Kevin Carr. I'm just pulling it out of my keister because I don't think any of the other ones are going to do it. I mean, I'd be surprised if Killing Them Softly or The Collection making $10 million.
Nope.
So. You heard it here first with our terribly inaccurate box office predictions from Kevin Carr and Kristen Dreyer Kramer. She thinks Skyfall is going to win, which probably is going to happen, but I'm going to let her have that one, and I'm just going to say
Oh, thank you. You're so kind.
Aren't I nice? You know,
chivalry is not dead.
Merry Christmas. Anyway, when we come back, we're going to be talking about DVDs and Blu-rays.
Welcome back to Fat Guys at the Movies with Kevin Carr and Kristen Dreyer Kramer. Today we've been talking about soap and sawdust and a couple of movies.
Exactly what you'd expect from a movie review
talk show. Yeah, we did talk about a couple of movies.
Movies happen, just not this week.
No.
Some do.
So,
next week's going to be the same thing. It's all going to be like, it's like going to be wall-to-wall soap and sawdust.
Awesome. I will get together my best sawdust stories.
Yes!
I'll prepare them.
You'll weep as you tell them because they'll remind you of your childhood.
Yes.
And I'll talk about other brands of soap like Dial and Caress and Dove.
Nice. I look forward to that.
Are you impressed that I was able to rattle off soap? I don't use it all that often. I know all about it.
You watch advertisements.
I guess so.
So anyway, enough about soap for now.
Yeah. What?
So now it's time for our favorite time.
Yes.
It is the DVD roundup.
Yeehaw!
Ooh, I like that.
I should add that in there. That's really cool.
I like that.
Suddenly sound like Gabby Hayes. We're going to be talking about DVDs here. Did that sound at all like Gabby Hayes?
Not really.
Did that sound like Barry White doing Gabby Hayes?
Yeah.
Okay.
Actually. So anyway, what do we have this week?
Big one this week. One of my favorite movies of the year
came
out on DVD and Blu-ray this week, and that is Paranorman.
You know, I had a pile of screeners over the weekend that I was going to watch, and instead I watched Paranorman.
Paranorman's so awesome. Did you get the Blu-ray or did you watch it?
No, we watched the screener.
The Blu-ray looks fantastic.
I saw you post that this week.
Yeah. I mean, well, because we saw it in a press screening, and the projector that they use at this certain house doesn't work as well.
Hmm.
It is sharp and vivid, and the colors in this are so beautiful.
Even the screener looked great.
Oh, yeah. It's just such a gorgeous movie, and the use of color and light.
Mm-hmm.
And it's stop motion. And a lot of people don't realize it's a stop motion. It's not CGI.
Yeah.
And there's a certain organic realness to that that just warms my heart, like sawdust and Zest soap. It's a beautiful movie. The most frustrating
thing. Clever.
Oh, it's so cute and clever.
So funny.
And brilliant. It has some just brilliant moments.
Mm-hmm.
Especially if you like horror movies and you've seen what it's paying homage to.
Yeah.
About a little kid who talks to the dead and has to save the town from a witch's curse. But the thing that irritated me the most about this movie, just in general, is it was released nowhere near October.
Yeah,
either
August.
Way. Yeah. Came out in August, and it comes out on DVD and Blu-ray right between Christmas, or Thanksgiving and New Year, and Christmas.
Yeah.
Makes no sense to me.
No, not so much.
The only reason I can think they did it is they just got out of the way of Frankenweenie. Which is a good enough movie on its own.
Yeah, it's all right. This is better.
This is better than Frankenweenie.
It is.
And I love Frankenweenie, but wow. Paranorman. Check it out if you haven't seen it. It's a little bit scary, maybe for the youngest of kids, but it's silly.
Mm-hmm.
It's silly scary.
It is so much fun.
Yeah. Then there's a movie that I didn't find as much fun, but I think you liked more than I did, was Lawless.
I did kind of like it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It has Bane and Bane. Indiana Jones' son running moonshine.
You know, I would like to see that movie.
Yeah. You could have had Tom Hardy walking around going, well, now we're going to run some moonshine down here. Little Indiana Jones in your greaser jacket, can you help us out? You talk about this movie because I hated it.
I actually love the movie that you're talking about right now.
the Bane
yeah,
moonshine
movie? Yeah, I really want to see that movie. And maybe that will be the sequel.
It should be. Because he's lawless.
Yeah.
Anyways, you like the writer, don't you? Is it the writer that you're a fan of?
Nick Cave.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's not Nicolas Cage.
No, Nick Cave with a V.
Yeah. What else has he done?
He's actually a musician.
Okay.
And he's very dark and gritty and goth, kind of.
This was not a goth movie.
No, but his style really comes through in the writing, and I appreciated that.
Okay.
But...
It's about moonshiners.
Yeah, moonshiners.
And it also has Jessica Chastain nude. So when she gets nominated for Zero Dark Thirty for the Oscars, go get Lawless to watch her jumbly bits.
Next.
And the next one is Step Up Revolution. And did you see that?
I missed that one.
Okay.
Sadly.
Have you seen any of the Step Up movies?
I have, yes. So I've pretty much seen this one too, is what you're saying?
Well, it's sort of like a Scooby-Doo version of the Step Up movies.
Ooh.
Where they have to stop the greedy land developer from developing on their neighborhood. So they turn to performance dance with the biggest budgets on performance.
And I would have gotten away with it too.
Yeah. Well, you have Peter Gallagher being the Scooby-Doo villain in this. And
he makes a good Scooby-Doo villain.
Yeah. The Step Up movies, I like the Step Up movies, and that's what it is. It's a Step Up movie.
Oh, yeah.
And they got really awesome dance sequences. I saw it in 3D in the theater.
They're amazing. Yeah. I saw the last one. It really...
They're cool. Mm-hmm. Here's the thing. It's not a good movie, but if you like these movies, it's fun.
Yeah.
You know, it's for the fans of the series.
Mm-hmm.
So you can check that out. We're talking about DVDs and Blu-rays with Kevin Carr and Kristen Dreyer Kramer. The next one up is The Apparition. Did you see this one? Here's another horror movie that didn't come out anywhere near October.
No, and also didn't screen.
Did not screen. I did get
that
to check
one
it
was
out.
Was in August.
Was it August?
Well, I believe.
Yeah, August or September, something like that.
I think so.
The best part of this movie is Ashley Green, who's famous now for the Twilight films.
Right.
But it's a PG-13 horror film, and it's about as PG-13 as you can get. You know, there's not a whole lot of scary stuff, not a whole lot of violence. There's not enough. Let's just say you see more of Jessica Chastain and Lawless than you do of Ashley Green in this movie. I would have liked there to be more of Ashley. I like Ashley Green.
Okay.
She can't act her way out of a paper bag, but boy, I can stand there and just look at her.
Well, there you have it.
Hours.
That'll be her next movie.
I've creeped out Kristen.
But,
you know, hey, if you like, this is great for like a 15-year-old slumber party. That's
nice.
The kind of movie this is.
Okay.
15-year-old girls at a slumber party. It's about people kind of creating ghosts by believing in them. It's not actually what the trailer says it is, so. It's okay. Yeah, it's not great, but I've seen a lot worse.
Okay.
And then there's Hot in Cleveland Season 3. It's about me, because I'm hot in Cleveland. I'm also hot in...
Columbus. You're also hot in Grand Rapids, from what I've heard.
I'm hot everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Hot in Michigan.
Woo!
Hot in L.A. I'm hot in Bangladesh. I'm hot in the magical studio in the sky right now. I'm sweating.
Oh, you are.
Yeah.
You could use some zest.
I should. I should be zest. I'm not zestfully clean now, let me tell you that.
Not so much.
Anyways. There's also stuff that dropped this weekend. That normally they drop DVDs on Tuesdays.
Right.
So they're dropping this one on the 30th, which...
I hate when they do that.
And, if you want to... And they do this just to sell them out in, like Walmart-type things.
Yeah.
So...
And just to mess with us.
Men in Black 3 came out this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And did you like this movie?
I didn't mind it.
Okay.
You know, I expected to hate it.
Yeah.
But I didn't mind it as much as I thought I would. I didn't mind it as much as I thought I would.
You're like, I give it a solid meh.
Yeah, I kind of liked it.
It was okay. Yeah. I'm so tired of Will Smith's too cool for school attitude. No one knows I pulled that out. That saying's not too cool for school at all.
No, not so much.
But yeah, I'm just so tired. I think Will Smith has kind of gone past his usefulness.
Yeah, he hasn't really done much lately. And
yeah, his sort of, that whole shtick is just, I think it's...
I don't mind it now because he doesn't do it all the time.
Well,
because
he's not in very many movies.
Exactly. So, you know, if you spread him out a little bit more, then it's okay.
Come out with a movie every couple of years, Will Smith. And I mean, yeah, he still hasn't aged. He's like a tall, darker, younger Dick Clark.
Yeah. He's still the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
Yes, he is. I could still see him riding on that cab.
Nice.
Yo, homie, smell you later. Anyways, Men in Black 3, if you really care to check it out, that's there. There's also Sparkle, which I liked.
Did you?
Yes.
I missed it.
You didn't go to the screen?
I was kind of busy raising a baby.
Oh, my Lord.
I know, and you always yell at me for that, but I was.
Only a couple pounds. You can put it in a drawer for a couple hours and go see. No one's going to come get you if no one calls the cops.
Next time, I'll just bring her to the screening with me.
You could, because I'm pretty sure there are kids in that screening too. Sparkle is surprisingly a charming film and a well-done movie. And it's cliche and cheesy, and it's sort of a rehash of Dreamgirls.
Got Jordan Sparks in it.
But I liked it. I thought it was good. Even Whitney Houston in her drunken rage of stumbling was fine in the movie.
Poor Whitney.
Oh, Whitney. I will always love you. Or not. Singer of the Week is Forks Over Knives, the extended interviews edition. This was a movie that is all about a whole food vegetable diet and to get rid of. And it's nothing. I mean, you want to eat well, and that's cool. More power to you. The problem is... This is some of the most worst misinformation you'll ever see. They kind of really play with numbers, and they don't tell you the full story, and they really just go after and just say, basically, if you eat beef, your head will fall off, and you will die and kill everyone around you. But if you eat vegetables, you will suddenly live to be 9 million years old. And who wants that?
Yeah.
Anyways, the
as
review...
As my dad says.
As your dad says, as he's sawing.
Will I live longer, or will it just feel that way?
There you go. That's a great one. I'm going to steal that.
Okay.
Anyways, The Collection got a preemptive suck. The Killing Them Softly, I said sucked, and you said kind of sucked.
Yep.
And then Anna Karenina, you said kind of rocks, I said kind of sucks.
Yep.
Box office prediction, $15 million for Breaking Dawn Part 2 for me, and Kristen said $17 million for Skyfall. Next week, we're going to be playing for keeps, and Hitchcock. Talk to you guys later.